Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Bij Centraal Beheer gaan we net een stap verder voor onze klanten. Daarom geven we ze 10 seconden van onze zendtijd om hun auto te verkopen.
Dames en heren, 18.000 kilometers heeft mijn Mazda 6 GTM uit 2014 gereden. Hij is rood metallic, de kleur van de liefde. Kijk op Facebookpagina Mazda 6 te koop.
Dankjewel. Wil je deze of een andere auto kopen? Kies dan ook voor de klantvriendelijkste verzekeraar. Ga naar centraalbeheer.nl/auto.
This is the Hip Hop Save My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
This is Hip Hop Save My Life episode 14.
I think this is already my favourite episode.
Do you think so?
Yeah,
why?
Definitely.
Based on what?
Just the number.
Right, yeah. Mm. We got past that third thing, didn't we? We haven't really got anything to talk about, because this is the third of a trip.
We can't fake this sort of catching up thing.
No. I'm trying to think of a story I haven't told.
You're getting ready for your trip, I suppose.
Well, it's not for another month, mate.
Oh, right.
But, yeah.
Have you already got your bag out?
Pardon?
You got your bag out and started putting
pens
in it.
Actually, what happens is my wife starts to get antsy about me not having started packing yet.
Right.
And so there'll be some pressure from there. You know what I mean? Mm. I think actually she's quite looking forward to it, because I'm away for like basically 10 weeks.
Wow.
And I think she's getting excited. Mm. I reckon someone will move in.
Airbnb it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Some guy. And fair play to her, do you know what I mean?
Good
luck. You know, I hope they're happy. As long as he's gone when I get back and we sort of...
Are you not coming back at all in between?
I will do. 5 weeks, come back.
Just do a couple of these.
Yeah, do a couple of these, yeah. And then away for another 5 weeks.
So. Gotcha.
Do you think this is going to make the edit? It seems pretty dry and boring, doesn't it?
It's just a little catch-up. We've not had a chance to talk. It's been back to back.
Yeah, but it's good just to... Yeah. Mm. And you okay?
Yeah, good, thanks, yeah.
When are you going to Japan?
August, I think.
Right.
Mm. And then straight to Edinburgh.
But you're going on holiday soon, aren't you?
I'm going away in 2 weeks.
Where are you going?
To Corfu.
Right. Is that a lad's thing?
No. With family, my nephews and all that.
Right. Mm. And would you like to get on it?
Oh, big time.
Yeah?
Yeah, just in the day.
How long are you getting Corfu for?
Just a week.
Excited?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's great, isn't it, Corfu?
Yeah. Is it?
I don't know. I've never been, but I assume it's like...
I'll just sit there, catch up on my sleep, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, well, this has been a bad start, hasn't it?
Episode 14.
Anyway, let's just fucking move on.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
I am delighted, honoured, happy to introduce our guest, promoter, DJ, Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Just sort of all-round good bloke, Josh Cole. Hello, Josh.
Hello.
How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
How's life?
It's good.
What did you think of the chat at the top?
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
really
makes everyone comfortable, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of like the way I see it is, you know, people have got used to listening to me and Rematch now, and so they want to know what
get
we
their energy
to.
Levels.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah. Just really sort of settle in, like putting on your favourite slippers or whatever.
Yeah, very calming. Yeah.
Just what we're sort of that's what we're going for. Mm. It could be that, or it could be this. It's very hot in here, and I'm struggling to stay conscious.
Are you?
I think so, a little bit.
You should undo your top button.
Yeah, relax.
Do you reckon, shall I?
Yeah.
God, I've never done that before.
But... There you go.
How's that?
Oh, God,
much
better
already. That's great, yeah. And your sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take your watch off.
Yeah.
Pop those shoes off.
It's all good podcast gold, isn't it? So, Josh, listen, you're a hip-hop fan.
I am.
You are also the founder of It's a Gay Hip-Hop Night, right? Is it the first and only, or is it... First of all, tell us the name, because it's a great name.
The name is... It's called Hard Cock Life.
It's good.
So it's, you know, inspired in equal parts by... Jay-Z and Annie,
right?
Channeling
yeah.
both.
Yeah.
Is it in terms of whether it's the first? I I think there's been one, or I think there's been a couple of other gay hip hop nights around, but none that. I'm wary of saying it's the first in case someone else,
right? In case you get claimed from,
yeah. So
straight out of Compton or something like that. Yeah. And I say we were doing
straight out of Compton Street was actually strongly considered. Yeah.
What were some of the others?
I initially wanted to call it Liquid Swords,
right?
but not, which I thought was genius.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really good.
When the MCs came, tell it about the names and to perform. Smoke cocaine to act the same. With the boy heat rocking on that one.
Oh, that's a good thing. Can we? Can we?
Yeah,
Jizza. Jizza's Liquid Swords.
Curtis Blows.
was
a favourite. Notorious HIV. You can't really say that though, but that was
a little spin off one.
Yeah.
I've got none.
Come on.
Shit,
come
I'm
on.
None
Easy.
Here. Woo. Bang. Clan.
Doggy Style.
Yeah. God, you're just vomiting ones up like off the top of your head better than I'm. I can't even. Can we have actually, guys? If there's anyone listening at home that can think of some pretty good gay hip hop night titles, send them in with the hashtag gay hip hop.
Yeah? And we'll be dropping them throughout the show.
Well, we won't. It's not a live thing, is it?
No, not the tweets. Things will just come to.
Oh yeah, we'll think of some as the show goes on. Yeah, that's our runner. That's our runner. Shit, I can't think of any. Kendrick Legay.
God. Kendrick Lamar is very sort of French sounding.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. What was the rationale behind setting this up?
That there was nowhere to go where I could listen to the sort of music which I like and be gay in London, really.
Yeah.
Also it just sort of made me laugh as a concept.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a fun I'm not DJ'd at all previously, and no one's going to sort of hire you as a DJ when you can't really DJ and you just go, you know, I want to play hip hop in a gay club. Well, you know what, you've got no credentials at all, so you might as well start your own party.
Right.
It's sort of started as a joke and then ended up suddenly taking it a little bit more seriously.
How long has it been going for?
It's been going for this is year four. So it started at tail end of 2012 and has all gone a bit crazy since then. And started in a tiny little members club with a capacity of 69, which the owner was
a very... members club with a capacity of 69.
Yeah.
I mean, this is fucking like Innuendo Central, mate. This is incredible. Anyway, carry on.
The capacity was actually, I think, 50, but he said 69 because he could say it with a little Habaneros on Kingston Road, which no longer exists, but it was great. And but had, you know, really showed up the fact I'd never done anything like this before with the
promotion
system,
of it. Sir.
The promotion of it actually went. That was the one thing that went well, and there was a queue going down the street, mainly because the capacity was so small.
Yeah.
But the sound system was not great.
Right. Was it so bad that people complained? Or was
it was so bad that it was. Yeah, people complained.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. No offense to Amici, if he is listening. I had my friend's 13-year-old sister manning the decks while he went out for a cigarette. So it was very kind of, amateur, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just went from there and moved up the road to Arcola Theatre, which really isn't a club.
Is it that tent outside or the
it was like in the theater, in the bar area, which we just got rid of all the furniture, blacked it out, brought in a sound system, moved the entire room around, and then you actually had a really amazing space. And word had spread and we crammed 400 people in there, which was amazing. But you have like the black curtains, which we had blacking out, would fall down. I remember they fell down or someone pulled them down, and I'd spent the whole afternoon getting the whole thing ready. I was like, put the curtains back up. Suddenly the street lights flood in and the atmosphere just dissipates. But it was great until some people, I think, had sex in the disabled toilet downstairs and yanked the sink out of the wall, and the basement floor flooded. And that was pretty much the end of
those activities all related? So, like, was that like just a fucking maelstrom of just they had sex and then in the process of they were just so caught up in the euphoria of having sex, thought just fucking smash this sink to pieces
to celebrate?
Yeah,
I think they were connected. Yeah,
right. Okay.
Actually, the main thing that upset the venue wasn't that. It was someone lost... The cloakroom lost some guy's coat.
Right.
And he emailed me saying, they've lost my coat. And he kept emailing me saying, they've lost my coat. Can you do something about it? And I said to him, look, if you went to see Coldplay at the O2 and the cloakroom lost your coat, you wouldn't email Chris Martin.
No.
And I wasn't comparing myself to Chris Martin. It was, you know, it was a joke.
Yeah.
But he forwarded that on to the venue, who got very, very upset about it. And said, we're a non-profit. We're doing this, you know, we're a non-profit theatre, yeah, essentially. We don't need to be, you know...
Shit, man.
Struggling with running a gay
hip-hop. I think it's... Right. And so they kicked you out?
They said they were going to charge us a lot of money to do it there. So
right. And did the coat ever get found?
No. It was like, he said it was a £30 coat, so it really wasn't worth
the push.
No.
Yeah. Do you think Chris Martin would have tried harder to get the coat back?
I think he would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems like the sort of guy
would have accessorized it as well once he'd found it.
Yeah. He would have put a little Coldplay lapel badge on it, yeah, sent him back.
Some sort of neon and stuff. Jazzed it up for him.
Yeah. A little vegan smoothie in the pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
So then what happened to the night after that?
So we went to a Turkish a pub up the road run by a brilliant Turkish guy. Solid sinks. Yeah. Yeah, very well. There was one tiny toilet where you had to crouch down to get into it.
Right.
And there really wasn't a lot of
wiggle room.
A lot of wiggle room. Yeah. So there was no, you couldn't even have sex in there if you wanted
to.
Right, okay. There also wasn't, its health and safety was, you know, pretty relaxed there. So we just pushed people in until you can actually fit more people in them.
Right.
Probably shouldn't really say that, but it was great fun. I won't name it.
Yeah.
Because that one is still there, but it's great. It was great. And then we just outgrew it. So went to the Ace Hotel.
And when you say you outgrew it, were you noticing? So how often does a night run?
So it happens like once every couple of months.
And were you noticing every couple of months? Jesus, it's like demand's getting bigger and bigger every time.
Yeah, you notice it massively.
Yeah.
So there'd be a line down the street, and it goes from being populated entirely by mates and people I know, and like, you know, mate's 13-year-old sister and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So increasingly people that I didn't know, which on the one hand is, you know, a little, makes it a bit weird to be at a night where, you know, because your friends aren't going to come every single time, and they get bored after a couple of times and they stop coming. But the word had spread and it was, you know, more and more people and like much funner people than the ones that I'm friendly with. So it's great.
So you outgrew it, and did you then move to the place you're at now? Or?
Yeah, there were a few places that were interested in it, but I emailed the Ace Hotel and they were really, really receptive to it. And they had no idea what it was or anything. So, you know, you get a random email from someone saying, oh, I run a night called Hard Cock Life and I think you should do it. We want to do it on Saturday nights at your amazing venue. You'd think they'd be like, no, we don't know who you are. But they looked into it and realised that it was an actual thing and not just like some sort of joke email. And so I moved there. Probably almost a couple of years ago now, and yeah, it's still there.
How do you think Hardcock Life differs from like a regular hip hop night or mainstream hip hop night or whatever?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been to, I think it's just a very different, I suppose it differs in a lot of ways. It's a very different crowd.
Yeah.
I think a mainstream hip hop night, definitely like they're quite, you know, they can be quite aggressive or just heterosexual clubs feel very different in vibe to gay clubs, I would say, like inherently. And so that's something I try and protect as much as possible.
Right.
So, you know, no hen parties and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Who do, you know, genuinely, last the other week we had a group of 17 girls on a hen
party.
Are
you serious?
Who tried to get in. And in, you know, in other cities, so if you go clubbing in Berlin, you get turned away, you're given no reason at all.
Yeah.
So 50-50, you know, chance of actually getting into somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I've been to Berlin, I've been turned away more times than I've actually got in. For no reason. You just say, well, thank you very much, and leave. And, you know, it's like an honour to even be turned away at some of these clubs. Whereas in London, it's like, I want to see the manager.
Yeah,
and, you know, you can be, like, incredibly drunk and still very, very indignant. And, you know, I'm going to contact the ombudsman. And it's very, very... People are...
I mean, to be pissed and mention the ombudsman is an achievement in itself. I'd go, fucking hell, mate. Pull that out of your pocket. You can come in.
Come in, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to mention the ombudsman.
Secret code.
So you try and, you know, try and keep it mainly gay men and women.
Yeah, yeah. But I take it it's one of those things that becomes so cool and such a big thing that you'll just get everybody wants to come there. And then you're trying to, what, then protect the identity of the night from that, are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think once you've got, you know, like, we've had some various bits of press and articles in the Evening Standard and The Guardian and Time Out. And it, I on the one hand, I think that once you've been featured in the Evening Standard and Time Out, it's not how cool is it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think protecting it against that, which we do, I think, really well, because it's a small venue, so it only fits. So there are other clubs, there are some other gay nights which have got massive and grown into, you know, these incredible, enormous things.
But yeah.
I think what I'm really keen to do is keep the spirit of it as it always has been and keep it feeling really, really intimate.
So do you have to guard against too many heterosexual people coming in?
Yeah.
And how easy is that to do? Because, like... Well, how do you do that? I mean, how do you go about doing that?
Well, you show gay porn on the door, and if they react in a certain way, then you let them in.
Right. Okay. Got you.
I've got a gay Jewish night in the offing.
Right.
Called there's a couple of different names, but Bat Mitzvah is the current Jesus front runner. Christ. With Oi Gay was another option.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other brilliant one? The Old Testicle. But there's
quite niche, you
know, circumcision check at the door was I don't know if I think I'll get away with putting that on the event, but I think it'd be great. But no, you don't. It's a natural, actually. I think it occurs quite naturally,
right, that
straight men, or I think you get a lot of straight women want to go.
Yeah.
Straight men are slightly less, a bit less secure with their own sexuality, generally. So, you know.
Are you looking at me?
The Rupert's of this world are pretty rare.
I've been to the last two.
Yeah.
So how did you? How did you find it, very much?
Just banging tunes and just. I just danced non-stop. We were a group of us for 3 hours. Just. Not booze.
I imagine
anything,
as soon as you see Rumadge dancing, he's out of himself.
That puts Josh off his stride. He's the straightest. Watch me dance.
He's genuinely the straightest man in the club.
Really?
Yeah. Famous for it. It's a wicked night, though. And I'm not just saying this. Josh is the best DJ on the lineup.
Really?
Yeah. Like I said, I went to a friend of mine. I said, if I ever get married, I'd hire him to DJ my wedding. Just perfect selection of tunes.
Perfect for you?
For me.
Right. So who are the DJs? Are they mates? Would you get like
they're mates? And what I've done is the DJs are sort of irrelevant in the night, so they're not. I mean, they're relevant.
They don't sell the tickets.
They don't sell the tickets. Yeah, so it's just Hardcock Life as a thing in and of itself. Without most nights, it's like, you know, you've got your 10 promoters at the bottom
and
or the DJs, and then if you, depending on the lineup, people will go. Whereas this is just the night. It's just a party, which happens quite rarely. But the other gives a guy, Jeremy, who's great, and Mark, who's also brilliant, and it tends to just be the three of us, with occasionally we have live performers as well.
Are those your DJ names? Jeremy and Mark.
Well, Jeremy,
Josh and Mark. JJ.
Mark Ashley Dupay, who's brilliant, who runs his own nights and is really, really great. And you know, people should check out in their own right. And Jeremy Stubbings, who we did give him everything but Double T was his DJ name briefly. I mean,
that's good.
Yeah, it was good.
Josh Cole's actually, that's done.
It sounds
Josh Cole.
Like a rapper.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
quite good actually.
Yeah. That's J. Cole.
Yeah, J. Cole, yeah, done.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah,
so I've considered various other, but you know,
more puns.
Yeah, more puns, or like DJ Hart. Yeah, I don't even want to finish that.
Josh Hole.
Thought. Josh Hole.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ!
What? You brought the tone down there.
Oh, yeah, you really have.
Oh
mate.
God, I won't do any more puns.
So what do you play? Is there anything you won't play? So like, do you change the playlist, have to differ, or is it just like,
won't play Azealia Banks,
right?
Because she's, you know, awful,
yeah,
offensive person who's just sent out this morning or yesterday been sent out a bunch of vile racist.
Has she really?
Yeah,
what she says
aimed at. I won't repeat what she said. It's sort of unrepeatable, actually. But have a look.
Okay.
And she's a deeply unpleasant individual. But apart from her, there's not really anyone who's off limits.
Yeah.
But you try and strike a balance between, I mean, mainly the requests are, can you play some Beyonce? Which I get about 15 times
a
month.
Yeah.
And you play Rihanna, Pour It Up. Get that a lot. But apart from, you know, and as a result, it's sort of less likely to play that.
Yeah.
But you try and strike a balance between stuff that's incredibly popular and trying to get people excited about things which aren't necessarily as widely known.
So how do you pitch it? Do you pitch it, like, is it commercial hip-hop, or is it like, what is it? Or do you have the different DJs, you and your Jeremy and Mark, do you have like different styles that you play and stuff like that, or is it pretty?
Yeah, we do. Mark is plays more Bashment and more at that end of and dance hall and variants thereof. I can't believe I just said variants thereof.
No, it's good. I liked it.
Ombudsman.
Yeah, Ombudsman variants and variants thereof.
Yeah, sounding really hip hop. and Jeremy is more in line with similar to me, I would say, like commercial. Is it commercial hip hop? A mix of, like, I don't know if it's commercial. Well, how would you define commercial hip hop?
Oh Christ! I don't even know what I'm talking about. I like Jay-Z and stuff like that. But like, what I mean is, would you play like, I don't know, like Danny Brown and stuff?
Yeah,
like that,
play Danny Brown.
Yeah,
I think it's more alternative than commercial hip hop. So yeah. I'll play lot. I'll filter in lots of alternative rappers as well. So you know, I don't know who you would classify as alternative, but Wu-Tang, or you know, you're as likely to hear Wu-Tang or you know, the more club-friendly alternative hip-hop.
Right, got you.
I will filter in. So you try and sneak it in as much as you can without emptying the dance floor, which does genuinely happen.
Really?
Yeah.
What's a dance floor emptier? Are there dance floor empties that you like? You keep busting out just in the hope that it's going to catch on.
Yeah, definitely. Edan, big Edan fan.
Right, Edan's amazing,
Yeah, he doesn't really fill out the dance floor.
Geometric pool, get your shit straight. Dictionary director, that means I dictate. Debonair drops a deluxe depiction. Your head of hair knots when I flush your fiction.
There's certain things which you think are going to be, what's his name, I Love Mackinnon Tuesday, or there are various songs which you think are going to play, which are actually very slow, which I think maybe you get. I think maybe in the States would go harder than they do in London. I think the British crowd are a little less accepting of the slower tunes. But you've got to vary it. You can't just go incredibly hard the whole night.
But you generally play stuff that you like.
Yeah, I just play stuff that I like. And try to resist the pressure to cave to the commercial bangers.
And are there artists, like obviously you mentioned Azealia Banks, but there is like homophobia in hip hop. It does exist. Are there certain artists that you sort of blacklist based on a certain track you've heard of them that sort of makes you feel like their feelings are not in keeping with the night, if you see what I mean?
Not really, no, because I think with most of those guys, like, homophobia is so much a part of hip-hop that you learn to love. and, you know, if you're going to be into hip-hop, you can't object to them being homophobic. I think otherwise you just wouldn't really get into it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like just a, it seems to just be a part of, it's a, it's ingrained in that culture. And I don't know, I guess that's, I mean, obviously it's, you know, really grim and offensive, but weirdly you sort of
tune it out.
I was going to say overlook it, but also you can sort of own it by playing that kind of music.
And, yeah,
you know, we don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah,
they're
like, it's the same thing with, like, you know, obviously there's records that you have violence against women and, you know, or just violence full stop and pretty disgusting things.
Yeah,
and I guess you just try and compartmentalize it and just, you know, like in the same way that if you saw it in a film or something like that. I know it's not the same thing, but
it's pretty similar,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think so, but it's, otherwise you can't. If you were taking everybody at their word for everything they said on a record, fucking hell.
But that's definitely a part of hip hop as well, sexism, which is a cousin of homophobia.
Yeah.
yeah, and you kind of just own it by playing it, I think.
Yeah.
So I will play, you know, you'll play the worst Beanie Man tracks because fuck him.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to play it and dance to it harder than anyone else is going to.
Yeah.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip-hop album you bought?
All right, what was the first hip-hop album you ever... Or how did you get into hip-hop? What was the sort of first album you started listening to?
First album I started listening to is probably... It's going to be... I think it was actually like Tupac's Greatest Hits.
Wow.
Which was... Which I've got a crumbling old CD case of.
Yeah.
Can you picture my prophecy? Stress in the city, the cops on top of me. The project's full of bullets, the bodies is dropping. There ain't no stopping me. Constantly moving while making millions. Witnessing killings, leaving dead bodies in the abandoned buildings.
Yeah, I'd say it's that. Or, you know, it was around that time, Eminem, first Eminem record. So it was 10, 11.
Yeah.
And there was a really good record shop somewhere near where I lived on Edgware Road, which is long gone, and I just bought lots of records, which at the time my friends mocked me for, but now they're like all considered the best albums.
Yeah,
you know, some of the best hip hop albums ever, you know, Dre 2001 and Lauryn Hill, and I've also, and like Busta Rhymes, and
Busta Rhymes is like, I sort of feel like he's kind of underrated. Like, I think it's just every time you hear a track by him, it's normally pretty good.
Yeah, you obviously haven't listened to him in the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, sure. But I thought his album with Q-Tip was good.
That was good.
I thought that was really good. Was it Abstract Dragon or something?
Yeah.
I thought that was good. And yeah, okay, he has done, more recently he's done some shit. But he did have a period where he just couldn't, he was just doing loads of really great albums. I don't think anyone's ever told me that he's even in their top 10 list of favourite rappers or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of,
I think maybe it's because he hasn't done what's considered to be a classic album, and he's from that era. So you've got, you know, Nas or Q-Tip, or I don't even, you know, that list goes on.
Yeah.
Mos Def or Mobb Deep. They've got that, what is considered to be their kind of quintessential defining albums. Whereas he, even though he does have a couple, you know, When Disaster Strikes and Extinction Level Event are both amazing albums.
Yeah. Really good. And then, like, there was a time when, like, when he first sort of went solo or whatever, but, you know, he did that, even when he did the Scenario, the verse on that, and then when he was the last one on the Flavor In Your Ear remix, his verse on that, I remember, like, everyone was going, fucking hell, Busta Rhymes is, like, the best ever.
Hey, you better believe it's Busta Rhymes, the way we about to rip the track. I say, yo, hey, I split your face and give you stitches, throw niggas and bitches, slap the ass off fat ass. Wait 1 sec, as I get down, I'm rolling with the heavyweight, connect through the stomping ground now. Don't you get suspicious, grant your wishes every time, bring it vicious when I bust the back.
Then his first couple albums were great, and then I don't know, I mean, obviously now he's just, any of you see that clip of him, I think he was in Manchester or something, and he's getting out the tour bus to walk into, he's sort of walking past the tour bus to get into another thing, and then there's like a bunch of people like the other side of a fence going, Buster, can we get a photo, and he sort of ignores them, and then you hear this woman sort of go, how arrogant, and then he sort of hears, and then he turns around and he goes, I'm arrogant, I need to take a shit, is that arrogant? I'm gonna go in there to take a shit response, like, just like, it was just so fucking awkward.
Sounds like a very British sort of pointed comment.
Yeah, why can't you just wait a little bit, have a photo, something Buster. But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. So you listened to Busta Rhymes, Lauryn Hill, Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem a little bit. I never really got into. I'm not a massive fan of Eminem. Yeah.
He's been talked about too much.
Yeah,
in this
I think
podcast,
we didn't now. We put a sort of ban on him.
Oh
yeah.
Right,
yeah. No, we haven't.
But we should have done
because
there were like
an
three
Eminem
in a row where we spent ages talking about and also talking about the same record.
Yeah, and Rummish would repeat stories.
Well, at least I had fucking stories, mate. Yeah?
No, sorry, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, you piped up when we mentioned Madonna once, but apart from that, I've hardly got any fucking anecdotes.
I was going to talk about Busta Rhymes being in Leaders of the New School, but...
Were you gone?
Look, that's it. Oh, right. He was the comical one, wasn't he? So
yeah,
it probably
he
didn't help his...
I always felt that Charlie Brown from Leaders of the New School sort of felt like he should have been the breakout artist in that group.
Mm.
And I reckon every time he sees Busta Rhymes on TV or something, he says, fuck that dude.
Yeah.
Fucking hate Busta Rhymes.
But I guess Busta Rhymes is one of those, is that sort of hip-hop at its best where they feel slightly otherworldly, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, they transcend being sort of normal blokes. And he's so inventive and magical, isn't he?
Yeah.
At his best, anyway.
There's a video clip that went around recently of him doing like a freestyle. It wasn't a freestyle, obviously, but like what is called, you know, pitched as a freestyle on some radio station. And you know, he's shaved all his dread. You know, he's got like
he's ripped. Isn't
he's terrifying. He's grown. Yeah. He's about 7 foot tall.
Yeah, he's ripped. He's shaved his head, and he's got older. And the whole time that he's freestyling, when I was watching the clip, I was thinking, this is a video that they're showing because in a minute his head's going to explode because he just looks just so fucking at the absolute top limit of the stresses that his body could take. Like his head just looked fucking insane, man. It was mental.
I saw him live last year.
How was it?
It was great. It was slightly surreal because there were a couple of support acts who were great, and Method Man and Redman were on just before him and they went on for too long. And when he...
As in went on for too long, as in
they came on late and then they played a full set.
Right, okay, fine,
support act. So he came on later than he was meant to.
Yeah.
But he's got such an amazing presence that the crowd have been really, really hyped up by Method Man and Redman. When he came on, everyone just went silent. And I think didn't really know quite what to make of the fact that Busta Rhymes was actually on stage.
Wow, right, yeah.
And then he was, you know, and he's, as you say, he's built and his voice has got a lot deeper than it used to be.
Yeah,
it's like this like terrifying growl.
Bust around y'all, like sort of. It's changed, isn't it?
That was uncanny, actually. Yeah, it sounded just like that.
Okay.
And then he got cut off because he'd come on late.
So they cut him off?
They cut him off about, I think he did played about 25 minutes, half an hour, and they cut him off just as he was about to go. And he'd done all his new, not very good
crap,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then he went,
he doesn't say what you think.
and then he went into Give Me Some More, or I think it was Give Me Some More, or Hot Shit Making You Bounce.
Yeah.
And got cut off and then wasn't ready to finish. So he sort of stayed on the stage and got Method Man and Redman on and tried talking to the crowd without a microphone.
And the crowd are thinking, we don't want those pricks back on. They're the whole reason this has gone tits up in the first place, mate. Everybody spread love. Give me some more. If you want to let me hear you say, give me some more. Were they good, Redman and Method?
Yeah, they were great, yeah. They're brilliant. I saw Ghostface a couple of years ago.
What was he like?
He played for about 15 minutes and then stopped the show and got lots of girls up on stage and did some sort of t-shirt competition.
Jesus.
Which fine, okay, you're doing that, that's not why people have
similar
gone
similar to Rummish's set.
The thing is, after the interval you need to get the crowd up again, so I normally just get some girls out, get a hose pipe, just looking
so he did that, and then he had his mates up on stage and they're all talking to, basically just chatting up women on stage while the crowd slowly started, sort of initially were annoyed and then gave up and dissipated. And as there was, I would say, like a quarter of the crowd left, he seemed to refocus and realise what was going on and then played the most incredible set of absolute classics.
Really?
To about 15 people left in the room.
Wow.
That's so surreal, isn't it?
It was a weird experience, yeah.
And you stayed?
I stayed, yeah, because I was loving the whole odd situation, which is you often get at hip hop gigs.
You've been to a lot then, I take it.
Been to quite a lot.
Best,
maybe a real Lauryn Hill Exit Festival years ago was, I'd say, or maybe like something like Dilated Peoples when I was 15 or something.
Yeah.
I'd probably say that. Actually, Edan in Nottingham was incredible as well.
I never saw Edan live. I've never seen him live, but he's like so good. Like, I love Primitive Plus. I just think it's fucking great. But was he good?
Yeah,
is
he
it
was
just
amazing.
Him at a thing? Because I once saw Buck 65, right? Who is not similar to Edan, but similar in terms of he does everything, right? And it was him behind the booth, like shouting into him. There was no movement in his show at all. He was in the centre of the room, on decks, and he was doing everything and just rapping, like, you know, like a one-man band sort of thing, just like that for ages, just like moving his hands about.
At the Dick Van Dyke of hip-hop.
Yeah, yeah, it was fine, but it was just sort of like, once you'd watched a minute of it, the show had given you everything that it was going to give you. Do you know what I mean? Did he do something different to that? Or was it?
Well, he's got great songs. Yeah. Well, that album, you know, he's got two brilliant albums. Yeah. So he just played tracks from those, but he wasn't doing it. It wasn't a sort of like one man band style thing. And he had Mr. Lift with him, who's amazing as well. But then I saw him a few years later, and it was exactly the same set. And,
oh, was it really? Yeah.
And weirdly, didn't have the same impact the second time around.
Yeah, shit.
But he's not done anything since, like...
Don't come to see any two of my tour shows then, mate. Fucking terrible time on the second one.
But 7 years apart or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
You're probably doing something different.
Any bad ones?
I guess, like, you know, someone like Lauryn Hill, as good as she can be, she can also be...
Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Chance the Rapper I didn't enjoy.
Oh, really? What was wrong with Chance the Rapper?
He went for that whole "it's all going to be very, very live" sound. Yeah. So I think if you knew the tracks, then Inside Out, it was great. But it doesn't have the same really visceral impact, I think, when you've got, you know, the Roots style backing band. If that's not how the music sounded initially, so sometimes, you know, once they want to be taken a bit more seriously, they go with a live band sound, which I think that doesn't always sound that great.
Yeah,
but then I guess he's always had quite a live. Trumpety based sound. Actually, Frank Ocean was really rubbish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really, really bad.
Was that in Brixton?
That was a Brixton.
Yeah, I went to that.
Yeah. What did you think?
Yeah, the same. And the sound was awful.
Sound was awful.
Previous podcast, Rupert was saying that Frank Ocean was probably the best live show he'd ever seen. So I don't know why he's done this about time.
Never.
You doubted yourself, though.
Yeah, I did, because I'm so hot. I can't think properly.
Yeah, go on, sorry. Yeah.
Never have a crowd's expectations fallen so
really?
Quickly. It's so hyped to see Frank Ocean, and then the reality is
so... What was it? Because the sound quality was shit.
I think he's just not a very good
he
live
He didn't have
performer.
Much presence, did he? Yeah.
He sat down on the stage.
Yeah. And how did could you tell the crowd were getting pissed off? Not pissed off, but disappointed.
Disappointed, yeah.
I went to see Mark B and Blade, and...
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Mark B. But when I went to see it, I was really excited because it was just after their album came out. And it was at UCL or something, at the Student Union. And then, but Blade was obviously just off his tits. Because, or something was wrong with him. Because he was just like, because Blade is like an intense, do you know what I mean, like performer. And, like, he listens to his records and he's fully focused. I've never seen anyone with less focus in my life. Like, he was like... At one part, he started giggling and just walked off stage and started doing the raps from backstage, and just found it really hilarious that we were listening to him. He thought it was a novel thing that we were hearing him but couldn't see him. But that's what happens when you listen to the record. You know, Blade's not always there. We've all had that experience of listening to the music without seeing you. Mm. The reason we paid money now is because we want to put those things together or watch you while you're doing it, but it's just really weird.
Do you think that's why a lot of live gigs are a bit shit? Because a lot of them just get fucked up before, or too fucked up.
I think they just don't... I just don't think that in hip-hop... I don't know if you agree, but I just don't think that they think that the live stuff is... as important. I just don't think they, you know, the whole thing about touring an album isn't looked at in the same way, I don't think it is in other genres.
Watch the Throne was pretty good.
That's true, that is true. But I think Kanye's a bit of an exception to that, because, and Jay-Z, both of them, because I saw Jay-Z at the at Royal Albert Hall, and he had a full orchestra and everything, and obviously that is somebody who's committed to delivering a great live show. And obviously, and I saw Kanye's Glow in the Dark tour or whatever, and that was like amazing. But I think they're exception. Those guys are exceptions to the rule. You watch a lot of it and they just sort of don't really,
yeah,
they don't seem that fast. So it doesn't sound like they've done a sound check a lot of the time, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, very.
So where the mic at? Hey, I went to see The Far Side just perform their first album in like top to bottom, they did like a tour of just doing Bizarre Ride, like, and it was in the Concord, I think it was a Concord in Brighton, yeah. And they, that was a group of people that were definitely there for the money. Like, yeah, they shouldn't have got the check before doing the show, because they couldn't have given less of a fuck. Do you know what I mean?
Have you seen that? What's the guy on Farside? There's a clip of him heckling some stand-up in America.
Oh, really?
Have you seen it?
No.
It's incredible.
It's not Kramer, is it?
No. Yeah. And he gets him up on stage. It's very undignified. Check it out.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. I'll check that out.
That's another one of my anecdotes that I never quite finished.
No, well done. It's good.
Later Wu-Tang gigs are a bit like that as well.
Where you don't know which one's going to turn up or whatever.
Yeah. You get like
and
one
you just
of them.
Get Master Killer representing the whole
just
clan.
So, how annoying would it be to just have Master Killer?
Yeah.
Master Killer and ladies and gentlemen, Master Killer, and then go wicked, wicked. Who's on next? Capadonna,
Papa Woo.
Oh god, Capadonna's a taxi driver, apparently.
Capadonna is one of the only albums that I ever took back to the shop.
Seriously,
yeah, it was one of those $18.99 export CDs.
Yeah, yeah,
and then I remember taking it back to HMV or Tower Records.
Capadonna.
I remember that. I remember quite liking that album. I'm just looking.
He did two, right?
I think he did a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. The first one. Well, the thing is, probably Capadonna is, he only really sort of rhymed when he felt like it. But a lot of the time, he's sort of offbeat and like just kind of. It's just really shit. It just sounded like some guy just like having a breakdown or something a lot of the time.
The pillage.
The pillage, yeah. There
yeah, but go. Some guy having a breakdown is usually quite a good listen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Not a breakdown in a good way, I mean.
There's that RZA song where he's basically crying. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man. Hip-hop grapes. Is there anything about hip-hop you don't like?
Anything about hip-hop I don't like? Well, I'd say, you know, stupid rappers... There's always when there's any movement. So if there's like I don't know like Young Thug or Future, yeah, or you get a particular, you know, a particularly influential rapper who comes out with a sound that appears to be sort of new and innovative, then there'll be 50 or 60 knockoff. So there's some sounds at the moment where, and even like the style of rapping, where there'll be so many people that will come out with an identikit, crap sounding Migos style sub Migos. That is irritating.
Yeah.
And just, you know, a bit like we were talking about Busta Rhymes before, how inventive and smart he just feels like he's a lot smarter with language than, well, I was going to say you or I, but definitely I.
Yeah.
And
you or I, that's fine.
and when you get, you know, you get guys who just don't have that at all.
Yeah.
It's always.
It feels like now you can be successful in it without having that wordplay or whatever, or being particularly good lyrically. Didn't that used to be like a, you know, the whole thing about being able to freestyle or being able to blow someone away with your skills? That's not a thing that you need anymore, is it?
There's a lot of novelty rappers like, you know, well, Riff Raff's not that relevant anymore, I suppose. Yeah. But there's still various, you know. I don't think you can say post Riff Raff, but there are
the post. We are in post Riff Raff now, aren't we? Definitely.
Yeah, I think we probably are in post Riff Raff. But there's always that collection of people who come along and then disappear again.
Yeah,
And they're annoying. But then I guess they should be celebrated as well.
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
Okay, I think we're almost. We're almost out of time here. Is there anything that you'd like to plug that you're working on that you'd like to shout out? This podcast reaches, you know, I don't want to brag, but it reaches quite the wide spectrum of people.
Really?
You know, it's pretty. How many people listen?
It's big in Malaysia.
Do you know what? I don't even know how many people are fucking listening.
I don't know. Last I heard, it's like 50,000 total listens.
Total listens. Well, I can.
So one. That
I'm going to
be
10,
one episode. Could be 49,000.
Yeah, it could be that loads of people are excited about the first episode.
Yeah, and then it just.
And we've had nobody fucking listen to it.
Yeah, just one dude in Malaysia.
So this might be pointless, but if it wasn't,
Mum and Dad. I think I would say the next Hardcore Life at the Ace Hotel in Shoreditch, if you are in London.
How come Rupert's allowed to come?
Why would Rupert not be allowed?
I thought
to
you were trying to stop the night getting diluted by too many heterosexuals.
I think, you know, if the Rupert's of this world, true hip hop appreciators,
thank you,
are always
thank
welcome.
You, Ramesh, listening.
Well, I'm just wondering if Josh has listened to the podcast. Basically, is assertion. No, I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking.
No, thank you very much.
Because I've seen Rupert, you know, nod, you know, dancing away.
Yeah.
To some bangers. So, yeah. You know, that's the kind of guy I want.
Right.
It doesn't matter if he likes to, you know.
Go
I was going to say
go
something.
On, no, go
really
on, go on,
don't edit yourself.
Suck cock. You know, he doesn't.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's up to, you know, maybe one day that's what he'll go in for. It's, and this is a gateway.
Right.
A musical gateway.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can I come with you?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Are you allowed to?
See Ghostface off before and then go to that.
Well, they'd have to, what do you mean? Like we do two things?
Yeah.
Should we, three of us, go to Ghostface and see how we get on as a group?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we don't want to, you know, I think that's a good testing the waters. Don't want to go in too.
Have you ever done that where, like, I mean, it doesn't happen so much now because I'm doing a different job, but have you ever done that thing where you work with somebody, think they're okay, and then you go for a drink with them, and then very early on you discover that actually that relationship should be confined to a work status?
Yeah.
It's horrible, isn't it?
What happens?
I mean, I think that still happens in the industry we're in.
Yeah, it does happen, yeah. But, you know, when you have it, you're sort of talking to them and you're going, fuck, actually, we don't actually have anything in common. Mm. This is shit. But do you reckon both people realise that, don't they? Do you reckon?
No, definitely
not.
You don't think so?
No.
No, I think 90% of the time it's only you. Mm. And the other person thinks it's great.
You specifically.
It's a compliment, though.
Yeah. Although I don't get many callbacks. So. Anyway, Josh, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Check out Hard Cock Life at the Ace Hotel. How much are tickets? Is it likely to be sold out already?
It's go online and buy them in advance because it sells out very quickly.
Okay, fine. Wicked. Roomage, anything else you want to say?
No, just thanks for
if
having me.
If you'd like to see Roomage dancing, by the way, I can't imagine that's the only reason you go to Hard Cock Life, but he will be there.
Dancing,
so it's worth going. Just for that. Thank you very much. Thanks, Josh. Bye. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bij Centraal Beheer gaan we net een stap verder voor onze klanten. Daarom geven we ze 10 seconden van onze zendtijd om hun auto te verkopen.
Te koop zwarte Golf 4 GTI 25 jaar edition, opnieuw gespoten en voorzien van glascoating voor maar €7500. Mail naar info@deurslotreparatie.nl.
Dat gaat lukken. Wil je deze of een andere auto kopen? Kies dan ook voor de klantvriendelijkste verzekeraar. Ga naar centraalbeheer.nl/auto.